Good morning and welcome to Mossvale Church. We welcome you to church this morning. We're not quite there yet in being able to come together under one roof, but we pray that it won't be long. We give thanks to God, though, for the way that we've been able to stay connected through online church. So we welcome you to church online this morning. Let's just pray before we come before God's word. Father, we thank you for a new day. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. As we open up your word now, we pray, Father God, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever read a passage of scripture? A passage that you've read many, many times before, and then all of a sudden, it's like reading it for the first time. God speaks something brand new into that scripture in that moment. Well, that recently happened to me, and the scripture that I want to share with you today is a well-known passage of scripture. It takes us all the way back to Exodus and to the time of Moses, and it's actually a story, a well-known story that you will remember from Sunday school. This story is ingrained in my heart, for when I was a little girl, I used to love watching the Bible films, as we called them, so the King of Kings and the Ten Commandments. And today's story is one of the highlights in the film, The Ten Commandments, when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. Well, we're going to look at the point just before they're about to cross the Red Sea. But before we look at the key verses for this morning, I just want us to familiarise ourselves with the story and what's going on here. So the Israelites, well, they had lived as slaves for many, many years. The Israelites had been in Egypt for generations. However, they had become a numerous people, so numerous, in fact, that Pharaoh was actually starting to get quite afraid of their presence. He was fearful of their power. So he then forced them into slavery, and they would work tirelessly building his grand treasures. However, that didn't satisfy Pharaoh's fears about the Israelites, and he took it a step further when he ordered that all the firstborn males would be killed. Horrific, I know. One mother, though, in particular, she was not willing to allow that to happen to her son, Moses. And she placed him in a basket and she pushed him down the river, where he was found by the palace and he was then raised by an Egyptian princess. Moses grew up living in an Egyptian palace. However, his stomach began to churn at the mistreatment of his people. He soon realized that he could not stand by and watch his people suffer in this way. So let's just fast forward the story. After leaving his life in Egypt and spending many years hiding out in Midian, taking a wife, Moses has now returned to Egypt to face Pharaoh and to set the captives free. Because remember, he's had that moment with God in the burning bush, and God has given him his mission, and he returns to confront Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh doesn't do that. So then we have the plagues that are contained in God's word from chapter 7 right through to 11 of the book of Exodus. So we had the water that turned into blood, the frogs, the lice, the gnats, the diseased livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness for 3 days, and then the killing of the firstborn sons. This was scary stuff. And you know, we have recently gone through a scary time with the pandemic, with coronavirus. So this was devastating. Although God, through this time of devastation, protected the Hebrew people. He protected them from all of this chaos and disease and disaster. So out of fear, and to see an end to this suffering, the Egyptians allow the Israelites to go free, to be set free and to leave Egypt, and they make their way out of Egypt. So we pick up the story today, and the Israelites, led by Moses, are camped out at the side of the sea, at the water's edge. So they've been set free from captivity. However, they're staring now at an obstacle, the sea. So they're not where they've been, where they used to be, in a place of slavery and captivity, but they're not yet where they need to be or want to be. They're in that uncomfortable stage, that in-between place. And perhaps as you tune in this morning, that's where you find yourself. You're not where you used to be, praise God, but you know you're not where you need to be, and you know you're not because you're not at peace. You're restless. You're agitated, perhaps, maybe overwhelmed, weary, afraid, like the Israelites. Perhaps you're no longer in that toxic relationship that you once were in. Or maybe you're no longer suffering from that abuse. Or perhaps you're no longer stuck in that old habit or addiction. Or maybe you've recently given your life to Jesus. You've become a Christian. So you know you're not where you used to be, but you know you're not quite living as you could be. You know, even if we think about it in terms of the recent pandemic, we're not where we were at the beginning. We know a little bit more about the virus than what we did at the beginning, but we don't know everything. There's so many questions that are unanswered. We've moved out of lockdown and isolation, but we're nowhere near where we want to be. For a start, we want to be back here, don't we? Worshipping God together, praising and dancing and clapping and singing together. And it can be an uncertain and scary place, this in-between stage. However, I believe that the Lord is saying this morning, I know where you're at. I know what concerns you. But trust me, it's time to move forward. So this is where they were at, the Israelites. They were in this in-between stage, and it was a scary place for the Israelites. They were terrified. They were facing the unknown. Not only that, though, Pharaoh has now changed his mind. He's changed his mind, and he wants to seek revenge. And we read that in Exodus 14, verses 5 to 7. Exodus 14 is our chapter for this morning. So let me just read verses 5 to 7 to you just now, and it explains how the Israelites are feeling. It also talks about the fact that Pharaoh is out for them. So when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. So they were not where they once were, slaves in captivity. They are not where they want to be, the promised land. So what do? Well, they're pretty much in between all that was familiar and the unknown, this uncertain future. And in between them was the sea. You see, it's been a long and traumatic journey for the Israelites. They've packed up everything, and they've obeyed Moses, and they've followed God. They've seen God. They've seen God's hand. They've seen God come through for them. They've watched each plague unfold. They painted the doorposts with the blood. They know that the plague passed them by. But even though they have seen God's hand, they are still finding it difficult to move forward. You know, I see this sometimes with new Christians. Right at the beginning of their new walk with God, they're enthusiastic, they're excited about this new life in Christ. However, it can also be quite an overwhelming time. They've been given this new life in Christ that the Bible says that we've been given, and it's so difficult because they are still so close to their old way of life. They can find it hard to move forward without direction. And this is the very place that the Israelites find themselves right now in this passage. It's scary, And we know it's scary because we read of them starting to unravel. We hear the fear in their voices as they, guess what, start to lash out. We do that, don't we? When we get afraid and scared, quite often we can just lash out at our nearest and dearest. And we see them doing that with Moses in verses 10 to 12. Look at it with me now. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So what's happening here? Well, as they find themselves in this in-between spot, they're starting to think, maybe it would be better if we go back. Right now, the familiar was looking more attractive to them than the unknown. They were afraid of the unknown. They were afraid of the future. And it's not just appealing to them, is it? It's not just appealing to the Israelites to go back. Sometimes we feel like that. Maybe it would be better to go back to the past. You know, the past always tries to lay claim on us and on our future. You see, right now, the past for the Israelites, it was creeping up in them. It was creeping up in them. Their captor was gaining on them. Church, it was all that was behind them that was actually preventing them from moving forward. And perhaps this morning it's your past that's preventing you from moving forward. So before we look at the past and deal with the past this morning, I want to read to you now the key verses, the verses that I said at the beginning stood out to me afresh. So we read Moses' response to the people. We read his response to them complaining and lashing out. And then we read of God's command. So these are the key verses, starting from verse 14 through to 16. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Okay, so Egypt is behind them, but it's creeping up on them. All that God has in store for them is ahead of them, but they just can't quite get there yet. And Moses, well, he has to step up now with confidence and he has to speak some words of wisdom. And then we have the Lord responding and commanding them of what they're to do. So it was the past that we're establishing this morning that was trying to take hold of them. As I've said, if we don't deal with the past, it will prevent us from moving forward into our destiny. Sometimes it will hold us captive to the point that we cannot move forward and that we get stuck. And that's where we find the Israelites, stuck here at the side of the water. Today's title, if you're looking for a title this morning, is this: it's time to move forward. And if we don't deal with the past, we won't be able to move forward. So why on earth, if you're faced with a fresh start, a new beginning, a new life in Christ, the future that God has for you, why would you be looking over your shoulder? Maybe that's you this morning, that you found yourself looking over your shoulder. Well, let me explore just a couple of reasons. I said earlier, the past was familiar to them, even though it had been an awful experience, a terrible experience of torture and slavery. It was all that they had known for many, many years. For you, even though the past was very painful, maybe, even though that person hurt you, or even though that was bad for you, or it was familiar. You learn to live with it. You learn to cope with it. It almost became normal to you, and dare I say, in a strange way, a comfort. It became a comfort blanket. Now, I know this doesn't sound or seem logical, but we hear it all the time in pastoral situations. People returning to old addictions, going back into old toxic relationships and situations, continue to indulge themselves in old habits, lusts, affairs, addictions, pornography, because in some way it's familiar. In some way you've learned how to cope living this way. In some way it's what helped you get through. However, church, this is not living freely. It's not. This is a slave victim mentality. It's a hold. It's a stronghold on you. And Jesus died so that you may be free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And living in the past, being held captive to the past, that is not living free. That's living as a slave. That's living as a victim. And we are more than conquerors, the Bible tells us. And the Israelites, the reality here was they were now free. God had heard their cries and they'd been delivered, but they were tempted to go back to all those years of living as a slave. Perhaps all those years of living as a slave had stripped every ounce of value and self-esteem, and maybe somewhere deep down inside they believed that they were unworthy of anything more. This morning, is that how you feel? That you don't deserve a future because of your past? Can I encourage you today, church, that if you have given your life to Jesus, that you are free? You're free. You're no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free. God has forgiven you and you have a future. I declare that over you this morning. You have a future. You're not what you used to be. You're not what you've done. You're not what was spoken over you, for you are now a child of God. That is your identity. It says in John 1 verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is what you are, church. You are a child of God. You are children of God. And if you've given your heart to Jesus, then your identity is in Christ. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Hallelujah. And your sin, your past, the stuff that you're ashamed of, the stuff that you would never tell another soul about, the stuff that you think about that makes you feel sick to the pit of your stomach, that stuff, the Bible says, has been cast away. And that God has chosen to remember that stuff no more. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you have asked for forgiveness, God chooses to remember that sin no more. Micah 7 verse 19 in the NLT. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Hebrews 8. Verse 12 in the New King James. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Amen. So it's time. It's time to move forward and don't allow the past to rob you of another second. It's time to move forward into your future. You've been forgiven and you are free. So what if it hasn't been a bad past? What if you've had good past experiences and memories, good relationships? Well, the past, regardless of whether it was a good past or a bad past can still prevent you from moving forward. For instance, your past relationships, your past marriage, for instance, is maybe now over, it's maybe now ended, or maybe there was a job that you used to do that you no longer do, and you're surrounded with great memories about all of those things. However, part of you now feels that the past, well, that's the best that it was ever going to be for you, that the past is your best, and that the future couldn't possibly match up to that. And yes, you know that God's got a plan for you, but you don't believe that it was as good as what it was. You believe that the grass is still greener on the old lawn. Moving forward doesn't mean that you need to erase the memories. Those memories can go with you. But let me promise you something today, church. What God has for you, what God has planned for you and has in store for you is far greater than what was behind you. Don't believe me? Then listen to Jesus. John 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And a well-known scripture, Ephesians 3:20, says that God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So perhaps, like the Israelites, you're camped out in this in-between place. You aren't where you used to be, but you're not quite where you need to be. What do you do? Well, we're going to look to Moses' words and to God's command. So number one, how do we move forward? Well, we release the past. We release the control that the past has over our lives, whether that's been good or bad, and we move forward. So let's look at what Moses says to the people. So verses 13 and 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. So this is the verse that I told you at the beginning, that for many, many years, I would use this verse during, or these verses, in a time of trial. So if I felt that I was in a battle, or there was something coming up against me, I would pray these verses. I would say, Debbie, you do not need to be afraid. God is with you. God will fight for you. And I would remind myself of all of that. And that's what Moses is doing. He is encouraging the people that God is with them, that he is mighty to save. However, I always saw this communication, this exchange between Moses and the people as quite a comforting, warm moment. However, recently, as I've read this again and read the commentaries on this, Moses' tone here is actually more firm and assertive rather than warm and fuzzy. Take a look at it in two other translations. So the CSB says, the Lord will fight for you. You must be quiet. And listen to this one in the Message. God will fight the battle for you. And you keep your mouths shut. Basically, he's saying, shut up. Now, this phrase is not allowed in my house. You're not allowed to say, shut up in my house. So kids, if you're listening, for the purpose of today's sermon, we're using the word shut up, but it won't be used back in the Orr household later on. Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. So he's basically saying, shut up. He was reminding them that God was with them, that God was in control, that we need to trust that God has promised to deliver, and if he's promised it, then he will. So shut up and be quiet and listen. It's a bit like me after 3 months of homeschooling Samuel during the pandemic, when I was actually saying to him, be quiet, Samuel, I'm the teacher and I know what's best for you right now, kind of thing. He was saying, do you really want to go back to slavery? Do you really want to return to that desperate place? Have you forgotten already what God has already done for you? Did you not see how he protected you through those plagues? You're no longer slaves, so why are you complaining? Why are you acting like a slave and living like a slave when you've been set free already? You're free. Sometimes we just need that shake, don't we? We just need God to point out that he's God. He's got this. He's in control. And trust that what he has for us, what he has for you, is far greater than what is behind you. So how do we move forward? How do we move forward into all that God has for us? Number one, we release the past. Number two, we need to be reminded that God will fight for us. We need to be quiet and listen. So number three, in moving forward, is this. Stop praying and start moving. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. So before you think that I've lost my mind, yes, I know that the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. And for those of you that know me well will know that I truly believe in the power of prayer, that prayer is our lifeline. So let me just clarify, I am not saying today that we have to stop praying, okay? That's not what I'm saying. God, in verse 15, responds to Moses on behalf of the people, and he says, why do you cry out to me? Why are you praying? He's basically saying, why are you praying? Move forwards. So is God saying then, stop praying here? Well, of course not. We only need to read the Bible to see so many times prayer being referred to. Prayer is our lifeline. I've already said that. So God's not advocating that we stop praying. That's not what he's saying. However, there is an area relating to prayer specifically that he's referring to here, and it is when prayer is used as an excuse for inaction. You see, the Lord had already heard the cries of the Israelites. If you go back to Exodus 3 verse 7, it says this, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. God had heard and God had seen their misery. Not only that, God had already responded to those cries. He'd called Moses. He had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He protected them through the plagues. They were now free from captivity. They were no longer slaves. God had answered. God had delivered just as he had promised. They were praying for something that had already been answered. You know, we sometimes go to God praying the same old prayers when actually many of those prayers have been answered. Prayers for protection, for instance, that God has already delivered us from. And maybe the prayer that we should be praying is a prayer of thanks. So it's not that we have to stop praying. Maybe it's a different prayer we need to pray. And can I encourage you this morning that if you've prayed to God, God has heard your cries. He's not abandoned you. He is with you. But on this occasion, God had actually already answered those prayers. But perhaps they were hiding behind prayer, using prayer as an excuse not to move forward. I just can't do that just now. I'll just pray some more. I won't start that ministry that you know that God's already commanded you to do so. I'll just pray some more. I'll just pray some more. You know, we see it all the time. God has given vision and guidance. God has spoken. And then you go back and you say, well, what happened with that? Where are you at with that? I'm just praying some more. And sometimes many visions are never born or because prayer was never turned into action. So please don't mishear me today. I'm not saying that we're not to pray. Of course we're to pray. Pray always. Pray every kind of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray on your own. Pray together corporately. However, don't use prayer as a reason not to move forward if God has already told you to move forward. You know, as a mum, I've given birth to four children, and when my children were little, when the three of them were little, I could discern their cries. I could tell you if it was a sore cry or if it was a hungry cry. I could tell you that. But I could also tell you if it was a little cry for attention. It was a little hoo, a little boo-hoo cry. I used to call it a kid-on cry, where you could say, oh, she's fine. Oh, he's fine. I don't need to rush to their side, because it's just a cry for attention. It's just a little boo-hoo. Well, it's a bit like that with God. He knows our cries. He knows the place in which the cry is coming from. He knows the intention behind it. He knows if it's a kid-on cry. He knows if you're crying just as an excuse not to move forward, and maybe you're not moving forward because you're afraid. He knows that too. And he spoke to Moses here, and he was basically saying, stop greeting and get on with it. Move forward. You've got no reason to be crying right now. I've delivered you. I'm here with you, and I will continue to deliver you. I've done it already. Trust me. Move on. So number three, don't be crying when you should be moving. How do we move forward into all God has for us? Well, what have we looked at so far? Number one, release the past. Number two, God will fight for you. You need to be quiet and listen. Number three, stop crying when you should be moving. And finally, number four, take a step of faith. One reason why we get stuck in that in-between place, just praying round in circles sometimes, is we're waiting for God to come and actually physically lift us, or nudge us, or push us forward. And I don't know about you, but that's never happened like that for me. Every time I've had to move forward, I've had to take a step of faith. Sometimes I've had to take a huge leap of faith. And we see it here with Moses. We read there in verse 16 that God told Moses to take action. Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. Moses had to physically walk to the water's edge. He had to lift up his staff, the instrument that God had given him, and he had to dip his toes in the water and get his feet wet. And sometimes, church, we need to get our feet wet. And it was the same for his successor, Joshua, when he was standing at the side of the Jordan River with the people that he was leading into the promised land. And he was there, and his feet and the priest's feet, they had to touch the water's edge before that the upstream would stop flowing. Another example is when Elisha became Elijah's successor after Elijah had passed on, and Elisha had asked for a double portion of what he had, and he's standing by the water's edge at the Jordan River also, and he strikes the water with his cloak before the water stopped flowing. When God says move forward, it requires us to take action, to take a bold step of faith. However, in all of these situations, God had promised to be with these men. He promised Moses and Joshua, be brave, be strong, be courageous. I am with you. Do not be afraid. He's saying the same thing to you today. Just like he was with Peter, when Peter took that bold step of faith to get out the boat and walk towards Jesus on the water. You know, so often we think about that passage of scripture and we hone in on that part where Peter fails and he starts to sink because he gets afraid of the wind and the waves. However, Peter was the only one to get his feet wet. He was the only one to get out the boat. The rest were stuck in the boat. You know, you won't see the greater things that God has got for you if you stay clinging on to the side of the boat. You know, if Peter hadn't had that moment of faith, he would have missed out on walking on the water towards Jesus. And yes, okay, he failed. He He allowed fear to set in. However, he also felt the mighty hands of the Lord Jesus Christ lift him out of the water. He had that moment with Jesus where he knew that Jesus was with him. Jesus would rather you get your feet wet. He would rather you tried and failed than stayed afraid, clinging on to the side of the boat, going round in circles. So what might God be speaking to you this morning? Well, perhaps it's time. Perhaps it's time now for you to move forward. This might not be for everyone, but it might be for someone today. It's for you today. It's time. It's time now to move forward, to press on, as Paul writes in Philippians 3:14, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ." For all of us, it's time to let go of the past. For the past can hold us back from stepping into our future. It's time to release control of the past, the control that the past has on your life. Release it now. Release it now to God, the good and the bad. It's time to move forward. What God has for us is greater than what was behind us. If you are in Christ, then you've been set free. You are a brand new person, brand new creation. So how do we move forward? Number one, we release the past. Number two, we remind ourselves that God is with us, so we need to be quiet and listen. Number three, don't be crying when we should be moving. And finally, take a bold step of faith. It was a time for the Israelites to stop crying. It was a time for them to stop complaining and trust God, that God was with them, that God was leading them. But they had to trust that God was in control. They needed to release that control. You know, once they shut up and long enough to listen, they obeyed. They obeyed and they stepped forward. Let me read the final verses of chapter 14 for you this morning as we close. "But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of God, the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servants." The Israelites were led to safety. God was with them all the way. He saw them safely across the Red Sea. They had a future. They had moved away from their past, and God had greater yet in store. So perhaps today for you, it's now time. It's now time to move away from the past and move forward into all that God has for you. For what he has in front of you is far greater than what is behind. All we need to do is release control of the past and trust that he is with us. Be brave and courageous. Be strong. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would heal those wounds and those areas of brokenness and pain caused by the past. For those who have heard your word today, where the past has tried to control and bind, Lord Jesus, we break that today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would release your people from captivity and you would set them free, for they are no longer a slave to fear or the past, no longer a slave to sin, instead a slave to righteousness. Thank you, Father, that who the Son sets free is now free indeed. Free to live the life, Almighty God, that you have designed and created for them. Lord, we put our trust in you today. We release our past and we take hold of your hand, Jesus, as you lead us safely into our future. We thank you, Father God, that you are able to do immeasurably more than we could ever think, dream, or imagine. We thank you that our identity is in you, that our future has been sealed by your Holy Spirit, and we give you thanks. So now to God, who is able to keep you safe as you move forward, trust in him now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Take care.